Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As we have had these last weeks, our gospel lesson again today teaches us about faith. Faith in Jesus. Saving faith. Justifying faith. This time it is that those who are ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who are ready for the last day, the ushering in into eternal life, are those who have faith in Jesus. And those who continue to nourish that faith in Jesus throughout their earthly life, indeed until the end of their life or until Christ our Lord's coming. As we heard last week, this means, of course, to attending to the Word of God, both in public worship, but also as well as in private or family devotions. Here, the one who attends to these things is counted as one of the wise virgins, the ones who acted as a part of the church without attending to the very things that nourish and sustain faith, of course, are those foolish virgins who did not attend to the word and the sacrament, and who will indeed never enter the kingdom of heaven, for their faith died along the way as they did not attend to their faith in Christ by not attending to the very things that God has given to sustain and nourish that saving faith in Christ. If you picture it this way, if there was one simple thing that you could do each day that you were given to receive that had an absolute, certain, guaranteed promise that you would never, ever get cancer, would you do it? What if it was something once a week? Once a week to never have cancer. If church was that one thing, people would be storming our doors demanding to be in this place. But the corruption of original sin has run so deep across all of humanity that people do not even know the spiritual cancer, the spiritual rot in themselves. They do not take heed to these things. They do not consider these things. They take them only in a personal preference kind of way. Maybe when life is tough, that's when they need the church. Or maybe when their schedule allows for it, when there aren't more important things scheduled. Or maybe there is, of course, no end to the sporadic and infrequent attendance to the Word and the excuses for it. But life for such foolish ones will never be endless, however. The Word of God is promised to accomplish that for which God sends it. It is, as the Word of God attests, it is written down that you would believe, and that by believing, that is by having faith in Jesus Christ, you would have eternal life. If you attend to the Word of God in your homes and when offered at the church, you are blessed indeed. But of course, that doesn't just mean showing up, but that is a start. It means gladly hearing preaching, gladly learning from God's Word, gladly listening to the preaching of God's Word, gladly and sincerely applying it to yourself and putting that trust in the very promises of God that you hear through the Word. And this is the very work that God Himself promises to do in you and through you by that Word when you attend to the Word. In reality, the wisest people in the history of the world did this very thing, and those wisest people who have ever been are rejoicing in heaven even today. The epistle lesson calls you something. It calls you not children of darkness, but children of light, children of the daytime. That by saying that, the Apostle Paul is reminding you of whose you are, that Christ, who is the light of the world, that you belong to Him. It means that the coming of the Lord on the last day, it will indeed come suddenly. But it will not be a surprise that you are unprepared for. that we are taught throughout Scripture to live lives full of expectation that God keeps His word, God has said this about the end, and so therefore this will happen, and I need to be ready for it. As the years roll on, as we get older and we experience more of what this world has to offer to us, we even pine for the return of Jesus. We seek even to become gladder at His return. We want it more. That the world, of course, year by year, decade by decade, will still be working on all of its delusions of peace and security, and it, of course, will be working on those things when our Lord Himself comes to claim all of this as His own. But we, as God's people, as children of light, are to keep at the ready, living out our lives by faith in Jesus, showing love to others as we hope for the great day of our Lord, having hope because we know what God has promised and we know what God has already done. That as Jesus says, the day of our salvation draws closer each day. It is a salvation accomplished solely by the work of Jesus. It is a salvation that comes as a free gift of grace to those who put their trust in Christ. It is a salvation that shows forth in lives of love for others and continued diligent attendance to the Word of God. That epistle ends then with an exhortation to you. It is an exhortation for you for the sake of all the people God puts around you. It says, encourage one another. Why would we need encouragement? We need encouragement because this world and this life is full of proof of a fallen world in which we live. That we are to encourage each other in the faith. That if someone is struggling, we are to struggle with them and bring them to God in our prayers and to help bring their bodies to church that they might hear God's word and be strengthened by it. And if someone is rejoicing, we rejoice along with them and give thanks to God for the good things that God has done for them. And that, of course, thanking God for them will, of course, keep us from becoming jealous of what God has done for them as well. But St. Paul says we are to build one another up. We are to strengthen each other by speaking God's word to each other, praying for each other, caring for each other, being friends with each other, and supporting each other. That this is the life of love that comes out as the fruit of the faithful and is meant to help other faithful ones, especially those struggling in this life and undergoing temptations about the life to come. The Old Testament lesson from Isaiah is preaching about a new heaven and a new earth, a phrase that is used in Scripture to speak about eternal life after the resurrection of the body, after the last day. But I first want to describe the situation that he contrasts this eternal heavenly reality with. And it should sound very familiar to us today. But God promises through the prophet Isaiah that this kind of day, the kind of day I will soon describe for you, it will not be remembered. It will not be brought to remembrance. So this anti-Isaiah world is filled with sadness. It's filled with depression. That the gods of people in this world, this anti-Isaiah world, are never pleased. They constantly demand more and more greater works and are never satisfied. They never smile on the people who devote their lives to them. That weeping is a normal occurrence. That people are always in need of so many things, and there is no help for so many of them. The cries are heard at all the time out of distress. That infants die, the very littlest and newest in life die. Other people die young. They die unexpectedly, only adding to the grief and the sadness and the weeping of this world. That people buy things they can't afford. They seek after passing pleasures that pass quicker with each new update or upgrade. That other things are just plain and simple taken from them. That hard work is often rendered useless by unfair wages or unjust taxes. There's just a constant change always going on, and nothing is secure. That work is toil, and parents fear for the future of their children, knowing the downward trajectory of all that is going on around them. That family lines dwindle, and they die off, and they end, cut off by various tragedies, conflicts, or even the selfish desires of would-be parents. Prayers are spoken, but they often feel unheard. And there's conflict. Conflict in homes, conflict in marriages, conflict in workplaces, conflict in nations, conflict between nations. It's dog eat dog in every sphere of life, and no one will always be the strongest. There will always be a bigger dog. Hurts pile up and increase and overcome. The destruction of life and the things of life becomes normal. And there doesn't even, in this anti-Isaiah world, there doesn't even seem to be a sanctuary, a place of holiness and security and rest. That's what Isaiah is preaching against. That this is what this world is, and you know it. You see it. You hear it. You experience it. It is what sin has made of it. Far from the perfect creation of God, far from being filled with perfect people created of God in His image, but filled with people who long ago lost that image of God. But in the face of that, in the face of that existence, because that is the existence that Isaiah existed in as well, in the face of that, God, through this prophet Isaiah, proclaims not despair but hope. A different existence, a new heaven and a new earth, the eternal day of our Lord, that Christ Jesus has made this day into your day. That you are a child of light, the very people of God. The former things of the fallen world will not be remembered. Instead, this new life, eternal life, will mean joy. It will mean gladness forever, increasingly. It will not go away. It won't change. It will be constant. That God Himself will be there, and God will rejoice in all of His people. As we will know the joy of our dear Father to whom we pray, and the happiness of Christ Jesus, our dear brother, who makes us able to pray. That contentment and happiness will be the new normal. And the only cries that going out will be those of praise and thanksgiving. And glory to God. That life will never end. Work will be a joy because we will reap the fruit of our labors in all good things, and we will only have good things. That everything is secure. There is not a single threat to life in that new earth. And all generations will be there. And the family of God this time, the family of God will appear more numerous than the stars that we see over our heads. That God Himself will be there, answering every request before it is even uttered, bestowing on everyone His glorious gifts and His glorious presence. That there will be peace true peace. Peace within, peace amongst brothers and sisters, peace amongst all who dwell in a new heaven and a new earth, peace with God. That even animals will be there, and they'll bring joy to heaven as well. That nothing will ever be hurt, nothing will ever be destroyed. But the whole place will be holy. The whole place will be in the presence of the Holy One of Israel, Jesus. And we too will be called holy ones of God. The five foolish virgins, they would call themselves Christians. They might even show up at church. But they lived their lives primarily for the things of that old earth, the fallen earth. The one thing needful for them, the one thing, to attend to the Word of God, which is used by the Holy Spirit of our God to create and sustain faith in Christ Jesus our God, that one thing, they don't think it's so needful. The five wise virgins, however, live in this life for the life to come, knowing the daily and the weekly medicine that is given by the Word of God for sinners whose hope is found in Christ Jesus for a new heaven and a new earth. They do their work as unto the Lord, trusting in Him, doing good works of love for the people that God has put around them, and having hope. Looking on with childlike, gleeful expectation for the great and awesome day of the Lord and His coming. And they are comforted by that news. If today you find yourself lacking in this wisdom, take heart. Even the wise virgins fell asleep for a time. While you have life, there is always room for repentance. That you are to put your sins behind you and focus on Christ, who is your forgiveness. That He has done what is needed, what is necessary, for those sins to be forgiven and for you to be given new life by His Holy Spirit. That even now you will not be disappointed. You've heard what the prophet Isaiah said. That's what God's promising is yet to come. That no matter how bad things happen to be in this fallen world, or even how bad they're going to get, God's promise of this new heaven and new earth will come true. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming. The bridegroom, who is Christ, is delayed. Just as He said. But He will come just as He said, because He's promised to do so. And He will come and He will take His bride, the church, into Himself for all eternity, and that is something we are to look forward to. This is something we are to encourage one another with. That Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is coming. Jesus, the one who has died for your sins and rose for your justification, and has ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, to rule and reign over all things, but also to prepare a place for you, has spoken. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.